Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What happens in Japan each year on a particular day that impacts the decisions of young people, causing much grief to parents? Why does that happen? What can be done to prevent this? You say, Danny, what are you talking about? Well, we'll talk about that in a few moments. Jeff and Kelly Pagargon and their family, well, they join us to share God's calling to Japan for such a time as this. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know His love for you. Whatever you might be going through, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to Himself. Will you open your heart to Jesus? Will you respond to Him? That's our hope. That's our prayer. Now, Jeff and Kelly Pagargon and their children, Taylor, Kendall, Reagan, Colson, and Bailey, serve as team missionaries to Japan. They've spent the past 6 years in Tokyo, loving students in Jesus' name, simply by living life with them. Jeff, Kelly, Taylor, Kendall, Reagan, and Colson, welcome to our show.
Good morning.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, we talk about hospitality, evangelism, and discipleship, but let's take a few steps back. How did God, this is like part two, I mean, you've been with us before 6 years ago, but how did God call you to Japan that many years ago?
Well, it started probably a long time ago in Hawaii, and I guess in 2006, we moved away from Hawaii and went to California. And while we were there, some of our friends, of course, you know, Randy and Gay Hongo, came and did their North California tour. And so while they were there, they called us and asked if the girls would come and do hula with them as we visited Japanese churches. And so we went with them, and God really just showed us how much we loved being with Japanese-speaking people and connecting with them and just ministering to them. And so I think that burden was just starting to develop at that time. And so, of course, we thought, well, let's maybe take a vision trip and see what God is doing. And so who do we call? We call Pastor Danny, the king of all missions. And so we ask him, you know, who can we connect with to go on a mission trip to Japan? So that's what we did. And just went over there and just really saw how God, you know, is calling us, was calling us back to go there. And at first, we weren't a mission-oriented family, but we just felt God's calling at the time. You know, the kids were like, how come we're not missionaries in Japan? And we're like, because we're just normal people. We don't do that kind of thing. But God just really softened our heart and opened our minds and our heart to just be open to what He was calling us to do.
Well, take us back from there. How did God, I mean, it sounds like he was preparing your hearts. Mm-hmm. it sounds like something outside the scope of what you had originally envisioned for your family.
Right.
How did you process that, Jeff?
Well, as Kelly said, it was actually the children who initiated the whole thing. So they're the missionaries and we're the missionary parents. And, you know, I guess what we did that was good was that we listened and we really came together as a family, bonded, and decided as a family. It's all or nothing that we go and do this or we just stay here. So it became a real, real definite calling for us, each and every one of us.
So this is really unique, I feel, and there's a special tenor that resonates with me in this because of your children. So I'm here. We're all together. Taylor, Kendall. So what was God saying to you at that time, and what did you say to Dad and Mom in this process?
At that time I was 11, and I don't know. I was just. We were all kind of just like felt called to Japan. Taylor and Bailey had been saving up to go to Japan or Korea for a while. And I think just being with Uncle Vandy and Auntie Gay and going around to Japanese churches, we could see like how much the Japanese people loved God. And if the Japanese people in Japan could just grab a hold of that, we just wanted to share that.
How did you feel?
I actually, on a vision trip to Japan, we were walking around, and at one point I just felt like my heart leave my body, and I turned around and there was a shrine there. And at that point, I think that was when I realized personally that, oh, this is for me. This is, I'm going to Japan. Like, not just for a family mission, but as me as a missionary.
Something back then, 11 years old, that clear, that strong.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor?
Like Kendall mentioned, yeah, so my other sister and I, Bailey, we had been planning to go to Japan or Korea just to visit, just because we're interested in the culture. And I wanted to become an English teacher. And so, it was just something that I had kind of already been wanting, just not in the sense of a missionary. But so when that was brought up, I was like, oh yeah, let's go, let's try that out. And so, I guess one of the things that when we were traveling around the Japanese churches, we were just like, we can't understand what they're saying, but it's just to see them how much, even if we couldn't communicate with them through words, through our dancing or through our singing, and just that they were just so thankful for the time that we invested into them, that it was like, well, we can do this. Like, this is what God can really use us in this. And especially for me, I grew up really, really, really shy. Like, I remember in church one time, my friends, or the teacher asked a question. I was like, and I answered, and some of my friends were like, oh my gosh, look, she spoke. And so I was really shy. And so just the fact that that even someone like me could be used to reach these people was just something that was really exciting to me. And so, yeah, I was just ready to go.
Well, your hearts are prepared. Jeff?
Yeah, Danny. That vision was solidified when the tsunami hit. Everyone was telling us, you can't go now. It's dangerous. There's radiation. There's possible another earthquake or tsunami. We went to each and every one and asked, what should we do now? And their answer was, even more now, we should go.
Not like, let's refrain. I mean, I'm thinking about first responders. You know, like when we think about 9/11, we always hear about people that were running in the building when the building was coming down while people were running out. Right. And that's sort of the picture I get. I mean, the instinctual response would be, well, stay away, you know, self-preservation. But this is quite different. But it sounds like there was a consensus.
There was, yes, absolutely.
As a father, now, dad, mom, I mean, you're thinking, you know, I mean, courage is one thing, but practical realities are quite something else. Isn't there another family? Or I mean, how did you guys process that?
That was we were confirmed so many times during our journey that there was no doubt that, or no question that we were called to go. From the students that were brought to us, we were in California, we were practically the only Asians going to this one church, and opportunities like homestays from Japan were offered for us. I mean, Japanese language teachers out of nowhere asking us if we wanted to learn, and there's a whole bunch of other things that happened that confirmed that we needed to go.
Well, it's galvanizing,
yes,
for the family. But as you share, Jeff, Kelly, and Pagargans, as you share, there is a galvanizing quality that emerges through your voice and through your example. I believe it's a galvanizing of faith. It inspires people who are contemplating, even right now, as they're listening to you share, should I go or not? Should I go or not? That could be relative. What do you mean, go or not? Where, how, when? No, no. It's a matter of this issue of obedience. Will I go as God leads? Even if I don't know where I might end up. Even if I don't know, there are risks involved, but is it a risk if God has clearly directed us to do it? And I'm looking at a family of faith, a family that is inspiring others to walk in obedience. More with the Pagargans when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
Well, they
guest.
Say God has given us real joy in this type of hospitality, evangelism, and discipleship. We'll hear more about that. It's their passion for a student center. called The Neighborhood. It's an expansion of the work that has already begun. We're going to talk about in a moment what drives the neighborhood, what drives the vision for the neighborhood. But before we get into that, talk about language. You know, you moved from California with roots in Hawaii, but then you moved from California to Japan. How did the language transition take place? And I'm looking at a couple of the younger ones, Reagan and Colson. Because your sister, Reagan, your sister Taylor said that when she went, she didn't know how to speak. So how old were you when the family moved to Japan?
I was nine.
Okay. And how about you, Colson? How old were you?
Seven.
Well, how has the Japanese language been for you as far as learning and, you know, picking up the language?
I guess since we were younger, we kind of grew with it a little, so it was a little easier to pick up while we were growing with them. So, yeah.
And your friends, Colson, your friends are just... Are you around friends that speak a lot of English or mainly Japanese?
It depends where we are.
that makes sense. But now even Jeff Kelly and others, I mean, are you guys around the Japanese speakers, you know, more of the time? Or, you know, sometimes missionaries go to places and they're around a lot of English speakers, you know, depending on how the situation or how things are set up. So that, I mean, that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, is how much integration with the actual Japanese families, friends, and you know, you all are around.
We're pretty, dropped in the center of Tokyo. There's not any other missionaries around us. And so as far as being immersed in there, that's all of us. Mm. And so, like, for Colson, he just needed to get out of the house. And so he would go to the park by himself. And Japan's super safe that he could just, you know, walk to the park and stuff. And so he would bring his toys and just kind of make friends that way. Just sign language, body language, you know, and they would just play together and stuff. And then both him and Reagan went to a local community center and took lessons. And Kendall did too, yeah. But Colson really thrived in that setting and just kind of being immersed in that situation.
Taylor, you mentioned about how shy you were. That strikes me as surprising because I heard you speak. And when I heard you speak, I was taken aback by your eloquence and your command. I mean, in front of a pretty large audience. But you spoke about what happens in Japan. Every year, you spoke, and to me, as I'm listening to it, I'm thinking that sounds like an epidemic of sorts, these epidemic proportions. But it seems to be all the more magnified in Japan. What were you speaking of, specifically relating to young people?
Yeah, so mental health is just such a huge problem there. 85% of teens wonder why they exist, and 11% wish they had never been born. Every 15 minutes in Japan, someone takes their own life. And September 1st, more teenagers commit suicide than any other day of the year just because it's back to school. And so these teens, these students, they're just, they don't have this community where they can be loved and they can be listened to and they can just really be themselves. They have so much pressure from everyone around them, the society, their schools, their teachers, even their families and their friends, where their negative emotions and their negative reactions are not because of their circumstances. It's like, why are you like that? Why do you think like that? Why are you so negative all the time? And so they really don't have that place where they can just come and be loved and be listened to and just appreciated for, you know, for being different, being unique, and being that special person that God created them to be.
Why do you think that is? Why is the situation like that for young people? And I guess for that matter, why is September 1st, you said, going to school? But where's the pressure? Where's that coming from?
Well, in Japan, like we've heard from several students, that the Japanese mindset is that if you fail once, you fail the rest of your life. And so if you don't get into a good school, if you don't get good grades, you won't get a good job, and you won't, that just determines your success at life, and that's it. And so that's just something that's ingrained into them from when they're, from the very beginning, since they're children, and so they're just put under so much pressure from everywhere around, and then even from themselves, just because that's what everybody expects of them. And so, yeah, they're just, that's just how they, that's just their society, that's just the environment that they're in.
Well, Danny, it strikes me because so many, at least in the United States, suicides have a connection with drug abuse or other things, but this is just an absolutely crushed self-esteem that we're mm-hmm. talking about. And so I'm looking at these statistics. You may want to share a couple of more, but they're absolutely staggering. And one of the things I've learned as a school teacher is you cannot teach self-esteem. So the pressure is just kind of mind-boggling and tragic.
So the neighborhood. Talk to us about the neighborhood. How did this, what do you envision, and how did, well, really, how did this vision come to be?
Well, about 8 years ago, God placed a vision in our hearts for high school students. And since then, he has expanded it to preschoolers, to college students, to young families, and beyond. The neighborhood will be a place where anybody can, from any walk of life, can come and relax and build healthy, encouraging relationships and just be put into a love that can only be from God.
So someone might be thinking, okay, the neighborhood, is this really like a neighborhood where a row of houses exists and who's going to live there, or what does that mean when you say the neighborhood?
Well, we envision a building that we and other team members will be living in, and the bottom floor will be used as a classroom setting. It's just going to be a giant living room where that they can come, we can do workshops, we can do classes, but most importantly, they can just become part of our family and just be loved on.
You mentioned the word the team mm-hmm. can come. What organization are you working with that provides the infrastructure or maybe the umbrella for the neighborhood?
We are currently under the Evangelical Alliance mission, and so team, but we will also have, we hope to work with other Japanese churches, Christian organizations, mm-hmm. you know, and just make a very, team of just the best of, you know, who we have.
So team, the organization is called Team. Mm-hmm. So you can find out more. If somebody wants to find out more about the organization, team.org. Now, how did you, as you began to envision this place where fellowship can happen, it sounds to me like it emerged out of some of the things that you were already doing. So this idea of hospitality evangelism, maybe new to someone's ears. What is that, hospitality, evangelism, and discipleship?
For us, it's just loving on people and inviting them into our home, into our family, and just, making them feel welcomed and place where that they can just relax and share, you know, if they have troubles, if they have things that want to be prayed, they want us to pray over, or if they just want a place to come. And so just providing that. And, you know, we have a couple students that have really embraced that concept, and they've started inviting new friends. And so this one boy, we've known him since he entered eighth grade. And so we watched him graduate high school, get into college, and now he's at a new university making new friends. And so he says, I want to bring them to your house. Okay, so he brings, you know, six new friends, and one of those girls invites her six friends, and she's like, can I bring them to church? And we're like, we didn't ask you yet, but sure, you know. So that's just kind of helping them to know that they can come and invite people, you know, just who need to be encouraged and loved on.
When we come back from our break, I'm struck again, if we can sort of go back, we'll do an ebb and flow today. Go back on parenting, too, your parenting style, and also what you learned as parents, as your children have grown amazingly. And they're still in the context of Japan, but the context of hearts that are growing in passion. I almost want to see if we can draw more out as we go along. But someone else today might be listening, and they're sensing maybe God moving in their own family. And when they hear you, Jeff, Kelly, and Taylor, when they hear you speak, it's like, well, could God be doing this in my family too? And if so, it's got to be more than just chance that I'm listening to the Pagargons today. Perhaps this is a moment of divine appointment, divine destiny. Certainly one of, again, obedience. More with the Pagargons when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, the Lord not only has given them joy, but they're in the process now of raising support for the great work that God has them to do in Japan. I remember watching the movie, this was years ago, some may or may not even remember, but there was a quote in this movie by a man named Oscar Schindler in the movie Schindler's List. He who saves one life saves the whole world. And I sense that, you know, with millions of people in Japan, with every 15 minutes, someone, a young person committing suicide, can we stem the tide? Can we stop some of the bleeding that's taking place? Well, the neighborhood will be one of those ways to preserve life and promote the gospel and eternal life that is found in Jesus Christ. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Thanks for joining us. We have the Pagargan family with us. You want to find out more about them and their ministry, go to team.org. They're in the process now of developing a ministry called The Neighborhood. When we think about parenting, lessons that you learn, Kelly and Jeff, but I also am going to want some of the children's perspectives as well. What lessons have you learned in this process, moving your family to Japan? How has God taught you a thing or two about being a father and mother?
God has a sense of humor. That's my number one lesson, I think. We can make all the plans that we want, but, you know, I think our family is known for being flexible because it just means that our plans are not our plans.
Kendall nodding her head with vigor. Why that reaction when Mom spoke about flexibility?
That's just one of our family strengths, and it doesn't come as easy to all of us, for me, but I just recall times where we're having a outreach event or a dinner, and we're like making up the program as we go. But I think that's part of like one of the reasons why we can do so many things and so many different things and reach to so many different people.
If someone wants to partner with you, how can they do that?
They can go to our website, teamkibo.com.
Okay. What is Kibo?
Kibo means hope in Japanese.
Japanese.
So it's Kibou, Team Kibo.
Kibo.
And hope, you know, hope in the Christian sense of you have hope in God. But a lot of it for us is if we can do it and we're just the normal, not normal family, then there's hope for anyone to do things, you know. We aren't your typical missionary family. We're not super educated in theology. We're not the super missionary. We're just a regular family that is able to show other people that, you know, you can have hope in just in God and Him using you to whatever His great works are. So it's Team Kibou, KIBOU.com.
Team Hope. Taylor, you talk to us a little bit, share with us a little bit about your educational pursuits and how God has prepared you for this next season of the family ministry.
So, I graduated university a few years ago. I was a major in liberal arts, so it was just to get a degree. I teach English now at a preschool, and so that's preschool has actually become one of our biggest outreach ministries. And so I teach at preschool, and then my mom and my other sister also teach preschool classes at our cafe. And so that's, I'll probably continue doing that once we go back to Japan. And it's just, it really has been my dream since I was in high school. And so seeing that come to fruition and also seeing that in a setting where it's not only my dream, but also God's way of using me has been really cool.
How about you, Reagan? What has God been doing in your heart the last few months, even weeks and years? And how about you, Kendall?
I think God has, like, for the last 4 years, he's really shown me how to grow. I've been, like, laughing lately. I've been marveling that me and Taylor has gone through, like, so many same experiences, but the way God used those experiences to grow us into such different people is quite funny. Like, we're so opposite. But we both teach preschool English. We both are on the worship team at our church. We both, like, just do so many same things. But seeing how he used those to grow us is really just quite amazing.
What would you say, Jeff, to a father who might be sensing, sort of like I said before the break, or coming out of the break, that God is moving in the family to do something outside the bounds of even the direction that they've been heading, maybe something in line with what the Lord has done and continues to do in your life in ministry?
Well, a lot of it has to do with involving the children. I think we underestimate their qualifications and what they're able to do, so much so that we just put them aside.
You would have to pull that up a little bit closer to you, Jeff. I'm not able to. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so a lot of it's also including them into one of the biggest, best things we did during this beginning of the year was to do a family, what is it called?
Round table French fry meeting?
Yes, round table French fry meeting. It's just basically a family meeting. And this is where no holds barred. Anything you say won't be criticized, condemned, or complained about. And, you know, it gives the children free rein on what they can say and also how they're feeling at that time, what their ideas are. And we allow that. Now that they're older and they feel part of that ministry, part of that mission, part of that family brand, part of that our family, and developing that. So a lot of it is not underestimating what your children can do and including them in that mission and their ideas as well, because they've got some great ideas. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be in Japan.
So, Taylor, when you think about this might not just be thinking, not hypothetically thinking about a friend. It might be a friend that you have. When they're discouraged, when they feel down or feel hopeless, the opposite of Kibo, right? What do you say?
That's a hard one. It's really just, it's not so much what I say. It's just being there for them, to listen to them, and for them to know that there are people that love them and care about them and care about their opinion and what they're going through. And for them to know that it's not only me, it's not just my family, and it's not just their family, even though that might not seem like it, but that also there's a God that loves them, there's a creator of the universe that loves them and that wants the best for them. And that has been one of the biggest ministries for me, is just being able to reach out to my friends, my Japanese friends, and just being there to listen to them, because that is not something that they get to experience a lot.
How do they respond?
I've had tears, and it's just seeing that they just feel like their walls come crashing down. Japan, it's such a society where you have to keep a good face. You have to always not show what's bothering you and not show those negative feelings. And so the fact that they're even able to be comfortable with me to share those feelings has been such a huge humbling experience for me and for them. And so it's just to be able to encourage them in that and to help them to know that, you know, it's not the end and that there is a hope for the future and they have so much potential and they have a future to look forward to has been, that's been one of the biggest things that I think is impactful to them, is that there are people that love them and they do have a hope for the future.
Well, Taylor and Kendall and the Pogragons, you are conduits or vessels of hope in Japan, in Tokyo, in the heart of Tokyo. But I've got to wonder, as you share the love of God and you share the hope that is found in Jesus by being there, by your life, by your word, by your example, I wonder what challenges you've experienced along the way. Were there ever times that you felt like you hit a few bumps along the way? And were there times when you experienced discouragement? When we come back from our break, if you would be so gracious, perhaps we could speak a little bit about that. And the reason why I ask or bring this up is because there's a commonality that exists among us as human beings, one of God, even from a Christian standpoint, let's say God gives us direction, God gives us provision, God moves us. And then we hit some bumps along the way. But this, I think, extends even beyond just the believer in Christ. Everyone faces roadblocks. What then? Hope in Jesus. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, this is a unique opportunity today because not only do we have the Pagargons in studio with us, Suzanne Maurer, her eyes are glittering. I wish you could see it, but we also have Miss Hawaii Lani Ka'a in studio with us today. She's also had some experiences in Japan. She's lived there for a period of time. But as she's been with us listening, there's some thoughts that come to bear as well, which relate now, because it would be a question that has to be wrestled with. But as we ask that, then of course we'll come back to why it relates to even challenges as we go along. Lani, you want to share that question?
Aloha. Thank you so much for being here. It's been fascinating hearing your story. I'm so impressed with the kids. Myself, having kids, are nowhere near as eloquent speakers, but more importantly, as invested in the Word of God and getting it out there. And so my question and thought, having been to Japan and lived there, was you're really working with the younger generation to move a whole culture and break some of the cycles that have really been oppressive in that culture. What kinds of challenges do you have when you're dealing with young people that they might have with their families and the culture that they're in? Because you must hear some of that, and then how do you encourage them by ministering to them?
Challenges. We haven't come across huge challenges regarding families not like allowing their kids to come, but more the opposite, like especially with the preschoolers. Like this past summer we did a VBS kids, and because we used a city community center, we knew we had to be, you know, it wasn't in church. It was, so we put it straightforward, learning more, come join us in English, learning good characters and morals from the Bible, you know. And so none of our preschoolers, parents, or, you know, families come to church. But we had this one family that came, and the mom invited more than 75% of our attendees because she's known us for a couple of years, and she brings her kids to the English classes, which are not, anything to do with Christianity, but just she wanted her friends and kids to be around this positive atmosphere that's encouraging and loving. And so that's just watching God do that, having them go out and bring people to be around this, you know, and they don't really understand what it is that they're craving, but just having them around that and being able to kind of show them that example has been really rewarding for us. There was another example.
Yeah, kind of riding along on that with university students as well. It's really, they're really just, they see no hope for the future with the way the society is and the way the economy's going and the way just they see that there is a problem and that there is a need and they don't know what it is. And so they're really searching for, you know, what there must be something more than this. There must be something better. And so it's just a really great time to really be there and be with them. And they're just really excited and eager to learn and change. It's just been really exciting to see that.
Danny, I want to just share a couple of statistics I don't think we did. Suicide is the leading cause of death among children or people 15 to 39. And in 2016, nearly 22,000 people took their lives. So I want our listeners to get a feel for the urgency and the sadness of what this culture is experiencing.
So in relation to that, Suzanne, this will be a dual type of question, but it's personal. So, of course, as we say, as open as you want to be, and, of course, as discreet as you need to be, but what kind of challenges have you faced, whether either individually or as a family, corporately, that has, you know, caused you to maybe stop in your tracks along the way, and perhaps someone today who's listening might resonate with that?
For me, a personal challenge for me is probably remaining encouraged myself. If I'm not encouraged, I can't encourage anyone else, my family or the people around me. So I have to be careful. I am an introvert in a country that a society that are of introverts. I mean, you could be there, live anonymously, and love it there. I mean, it's a introvert's dream there, pretty much. And I'm loving it. But I know my calling, and I know that I have to share. And but being encouraged myself is probably one of the toughest things that I had to do. With all those challenges. I mean, of course, it's a new country, new language, and all those factors that we have to weigh in. And, you know, I understood the ramifications and taking on that challenge. And I'm enjoying it. I'm embracing it rather than avoiding it.
TeamKibo.com. That's Kibo, K-I-B-O-U, which is hope in Japanese, teamkibble.com. Jeff, so how do you stay encouraged?
A lot. Well, for me, it's association with my mentors. Being with my family always encouraged me, and encouraging others. Mm. Is probably one of the best things that I can do to encourage myself.
There's a reciprocating component
absolutely.
To that. Yeah. How about others? Any other challenges that you've faced along the way? Because like your dad just talked about, there are others who are introverts, others who need to stay encouraged. Any others?
I think, you know, I'm the optimist in the family, but, you know, it all sounds great, but it is hard, you know. Maybe it's me trying to convince myself that it's not as hard as it is, but it is. It really is. It gets lonely. The language is the hardest, you know, one of the hardest in the world to learn. Mm-hmm. And being older, you know, it doesn't come as easily as to us as it does to our kids. And so, and raising support, there's always that too, and keeping our supporters. And so there are challenges. And being, you know, if Aloha Stadium was full capacity, there would be, you know, less than, was it one person? 50,000, right? Fits. And so less than one person in Aloha Stadium is a Christian or is a missionary in Japan. And so just to think of those, you know, kinds of visuals, sometimes we think, what are we trying to do here? You know, it's crazy. But God just keeps along the way. He just keeps dropping these, you know, blessings to us and encouraging us that, you know, I see you, I know you're working. And, you know, it's just this little thing, but, you know, you don't know what seeds are planted. We're never going to know.
Lanika, we got about a minute left. You pray for the Pagargans, and also pray for our dear listeners who may also be in a challenging moment, or even in a moment of faith where God is calling them to be obedient.
Thank you, Danny. Lord, we are so thankful for this family of missionaries, Lord. We are thankful that even though they thought their world and their journey was going in one direction, when they heard the call to mission work, they were obedient to respond and respond completely. Lord God, I just thank you so much for that, for their heart. Lord, I thank you for the parents, Jeff and Kelly, that they have been such a wonderful example of faithfulness and obedience as well as leadership in the character that you created them to be, Lord God. I thank you for every member of the family, for the children who have walked this walk without concern or challenge, Lord, that have really embraced the things that the family has done. I thank you for their example as a family, respect for each other, love among themselves, partnerships that are sometimes so hard to see in families, Lord. So I praise you for them, Lord God. And I just ask, Father God, that if you are calling them to greater things, Lord, that you would continue to drop vision for them, Lord. I pray for provision for them. Father God, I pray for your hand of protection on them as they go out and do their work in the mission field, Lord God. Father, I thank you for those that are listening as well, Lord, and especially for those who are called as well to the mission field in Japan or whatever place you have them, right, even right here at home, Lord God. I pray, Father, they would be moved and that they would not hesitate, Lord God, to step into the mission field, for you have called all of us there, Lord, in our way to use our giftings, Lord God. Help everyone here and the sound of my voice, Father, to step into their own mission field and be obedient to the call that you are placing on their heart, Father, be it a family, a single person, a child, Lord God, that you could use each and every one of us to reach the lost, Lord, those that are oppressed, especially the young generation that is not finding hope in this world, Lord. I pray a special blessing over the kids here, Lord, for they have great things ahead of them. Protect them and keep them safe on their journey for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. The Neighborhood Japan. Find out more at teamkibo.com. The Pagargans, thank you so much for being with us today. You are a blessing. Inspiring words from the Pagargans, again, teamkibo.com. There's no better time than right now, dear friends, to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifefory.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifefory.com and click Partners. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to the Pagargans, teamkibo.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, and Lonnie Ka'a joining us, web designer Arlen Nagata. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.